Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Kidnap a Pope, Napoleon and Pius VII, by Ambrogio A. Cajani, narrated by Paul Heitch. Introduction. A Sleepless Night in the Eternal City, 1809. On the night of 5 to 6 July 1809, most of Rome's inhabitants were asleep, their windows and shutters open so that what breeze there was might chase away the intense summer heat. Those still awake could hear the regular patrols of French and Neapolitan soldiers marching through the streets. Their presence was deeply resented. When Napoleon's soldiers had first entered the city a year earlier, the 66-year-old Pope Pius VII had moved to the Quirinal Palace, his preferred lodgings, and an escape from the tribulations of his high office. Constructed during the 16th century, mushrooming in size ever since, the Quirinal is a labyrinth. Its structure is more or less L-shaped. Its interiors comprise seemingly endless enfilades of antechambers and staterooms, while at the base of the L, its large courtyard, or Cortile d'Onore, is arranged around a large clock tower. Perched atop a hill, the palace commands magnificent vistas over the city and looks directly onto the dome of St. Peter's Basilica. A favorite residence of the Pope's, especially in the summer months, the cool ornamental gardens, English coffee house, and ice boxes made it a haven from the sun, and being on high ground, it was considered more salubrious than the Vatican, whose proximity to the Tiber was thought to be unhealthy. As 6 July dawned, the sentries in the clock tower retired for the night, feeling that their duty had been done. They were unaware that their movements were being closely watched. As soon as the lights in the tower had been extinguished, a flurry of activity began. The tight streets and square in front of the palace gradually filled with Neapolitan soldiers and French gendarmes. The leader of these 700 and more troops was the Frenchman Étienne Radet, resplendent in the blue uniform of a brigadier general of the Imperial Gendarmerie. He was an attractive man, tall, broad-shouldered, his cheeks sporting impressive auburn sideburns. This proud soldier, like the gendarmes he led, was a veteran of many campaigns of the Revolutionary and Napoleonic Wars. As he gained seniority, he had switched from traditional soldiering to specialize in counterinsurgency. He was, by now, one of the best bandit catchers in Europe. A few years previously, he had been instrumental in converting the Neapolitan brigand Sciabaloni, Big Sword, into a police agent. In the early morning of 6 July, he was about to face his biggest challenge. In late June, the military governor of Rome, General Sextius Alexandre François de Mulis, had instructed Radet to take Pius VII into custody. The verbal orders stressed the delicacy of the operation. The pontiff must be extracted from the Quirinal without allowing time for the alarm to be raised. Radet spent weeks dutifully planning the Pope's kidnapping. He discreetly reconnoitered Piazza di Montecavallo at the summit of the Quirinal. His task was made easier by the recruitment of a group of disgruntled papal servants and Roman aristocrats. These renegades provided useful intelligence as to how to enter the palace unobserved. They also described the habits of the Pope and, more importantly, his guards. It was thanks to their intelligence that Radet knew that the palace sentries retired at 2 o'clock in the morning. The plan the general devised was bold and bore many of the hallmarks of Napoleonic strategy. During the Empire, the French had divided their army into smaller units that would march swiftly on separate roads and then converge on the enemy's position to destroy him. This was known as the corps d'armée system. Radet hoped to achieve a similar outcome on a smaller scale. As in a battle, he would divide his forces into three detachments, which would take the papal palace in a pincer movement. Radet would personally lead 30 veterans onto the roof of the palace and then stealthily enter the main courtyard. His deputy, Colonel Thierry, would head a similar contingent that would access the gardens and, through an open window, gain entry into the servants' quarters. Both groups would then rendezvous inside the palace and open the main gates leading to the Piazza di Montecavallo, where the remaining forces would join them for the final assault. The critical phase would be to disarm and neutralize the Swiss Guard before they could raise the alarm. If Radet's careful plan proved successful, the Pope and his court would be taken by surprise and spirited away in carriages in the dead of night before anybody realized what had occurred. All seemed to start according to plan. At 2:30 a.m., over 700 troops assembled outside Pius VII's summer residence. Colonel Thierry scaled the walls of the gardens, but he and his men got lost in the vast papal gardens and wasted valuable time. The darkness and obstacles, in the shape of the fine collection of exotic plants, made stealthy movement nearly impossible, and Thierry's men could not identify the lighted window which a spy inside the Quirinal had promised to leave open. Meanwhile, Radet, a man of deeds, not words, had told his men that he would be the first to climb up to the palace roof, just under 30 feet high. Long, scaling ladders had been requisitioned for this purpose. Radet ascended the ladder with grim determination, followed by his loyal gendarmes, but he immediately suffered an almost fatal setback. His men had forgotten to check the sturdiness of the scaling ladders and whether they could carry the weight of 30 brawny gendarmes. Radet had almost reached the roof when the ladder snapped in half and he fell indecorously to the ground. The sound of the ladder breaking and the men shouting awoke the inhabitants of the palace. Very soon, cries of "Treason! To arms! Treason!" were heard. Candlelight started to flicker in the windows of the Quirinal. To make matters worse, the sentries began tolling the palace bell, and all the churches of Rome responded in kind. The element of surprise had been squandered. Not a man to be discouraged, the now rather disheveled Radet, his hat perched crookedly on his head, made his way to the main palace gate with an axe and proceeded to deal violent blows to the wooden doors. In the previous months, however, the prefect of the papal household had taken the wise precaution of having both the locks and the wooden gates reinforced in preparation for a likely incursion. Radet, despite his great physical strength, did not get very far and only succeeded in making himself sweaty and breathless. One historian has described him at this moment looking more like a poacher than an officer. Nearing collapse from exhaustion, the general ceased his assault. He could hear sounds from the interior of the Quirinal. Colonel Thierry, despite an unpromising start, had eventually found his way inside the palace. He now unbolted the gates, and the imperial forces flooded into the staterooms. They were soon met by the Swiss Guard in full battle order, their armor and halberds glistening in the candlelight. This was a standoff the French had wanted to avoid. Any violence or shedding of blood in the attempt to kidnap Pius VII would have destroyed the empire's already fragile reputation with Catholic Europe. The imperial officers demanded that the Swiss Guard surrender. To the Franco-Neapolitan soldiers' relief, the sound of the heavy halberds crashing down to the ground was a clear sign that there was not going to be a fight. Since the invasion of his states, the Pope had ordered his troops to offer no resistance when faced with overwhelming force. As soldiers penetrated deeper into the palace, it was apparent that the papal court had had time to dress and prepare for their unwelcome visitors. Radet crossed the empty throne room, his footsteps echoing in the stillness of the night. He knocked on the door leading to the private apartments of Pius VII. The sound of the lock turning greeted him. Tiberius, nephew of Cardinal Pacca, the papal secretary of state, foreign minister, admitted Radet. They walked down a dark corridor and eventually saw light emerging from the papal study. Pius VII was sitting at his desk, flanked by Cardinal Despuig and Cardinal Pacca. Radet, still sweating and panting, removed his hat as a mark of deference. A lengthy, awkward silence ensued. Pius was no fool. He knew.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?